Welcome to Nothing But the Tooth, the dental hygiene inspired podcast brought to you by the South Dakota Dental Hygienists Association. Hey everyone, welcome back to Nothing But the Tooth. It's been a while since we've posted, but we're going to try to start posting a little more often. We're going to try to start this podcast up again. And to start, we are going to be interviewing Haley Bruggeman. Haley Bruggeman is our current SDDHA president, and we're just going to chat with her a little bit about how the year's going. First, I want to introduce you guys to Haley. Haley Bruggeman is a 2018 graduate of USD. She has a bachelor's in dental hygiene and a master's of public health, also both from USD. She's a faculty member here for USD, and she works clinically in Yankton at Elwood Family Dental Care. She's a mama, and her son Henry is going to be 2 in March, and her husband Cody live in Yankton. So we want to welcome you, Haley, to the podcast. We're going to start out with a question about SADA, and I know this just because I know you, but you were in some leadership roles for SADA, and so we want to know when you were in SADA as a student, how SADA shaped your view on ADHA membership now as a clinician.
So this is kind of a double-edged question because I feel like when you are in dental hygiene school, you really have no idea at all about anything that goes on outside of the world as far as ADHA, SDDHA, clinically, just everything. You have no idea how any of this stuff works as far as networking and doing things as a adult, I guess, is the best way to put it. So I feel like this was kind of my first real type of professional leadership role. I feel like I had a lot of things in college that I was in as far as like leadership things, you know, with my sorority or maybe some roles on campus, but never anything dental related. So I feel like that's just kind of my first ever step into that type of role and that type of leadership. So I feel like it basically just introduced me to it, which I think it's really nice now that I'm back here at USD as a faculty member and just telling them like, this is how the world works. And this is the best way to introduce you to it. Because that's how I felt that I didn't ever really know what it truly was until I was actually thrust into it, I guess, and started doing some of the things that we now do kind of mirrored on the SDDHA board. So.
And you were president in SADA, right? You were the president of SADA, and now you're the president of SDDHA. So how did your experience in SADA help shape your leadership values for now?
So I think too, just in general as a whole, I'll kind of go back and forth. I feel like in general as a whole, nowadays, there's not as much focus on membership as far as SDDHA and even in SADA. A lot of times it goes by the wayside. I'm not sure if it's just kind of a new generational thing. I feel like the older generation loves to network. They want to go physically sit with you at a meeting. They want to be with you. Whereas I think with COVID and things that happened so much, it kind of changed and shaped our perception of meeting people. We suddenly are like, wait, no, I'd rather go on a Zoom. I'd rather not be with you in person. So I feel like that has kind of shifted so much even since when I was in school. And so I feel like it's now starting to kind of come back full circle, and we're starting to get more students involved. We're starting to get more people involved in SDDHA again and being like, hey, let's actually have a real meeting where we actually like see each other. We talk to each other. We give each other a hug. And I think that's kind of the nicest part about now where I'm at. And so it's kind of become a full circle moment now that I'm almost 6 years out of school. But I feel like that was kind of my first thing that I wanted, I guess, as a leader. I just wanted to feel like I had people to kind of lean on when it came to like the professional aspect of SDDHA and ADHA membership. I felt like when I was in school, I just wanted friends. Like, I just wanted to have somebody that was like, yeah, that test sucked, or yeah, this is something that I'm concerned about too, or just somebody that was like-minded like me. And I feel like that's what I have now, even too, now with SDDHA. So I feel like that's the biggest thing, is now I just feel like I'm in this big full circle moment of coming back and doing this as the president now. now I just feel like I'm doing it with different things. I'm not talking about tests so much anymore. I'm now talking about, you know, clinical work and things like that. So just kind of different and cool.
Great. So that kind of leads us into this year and how your presidency is going. As president, your theme for this year is progress over perfection. Can you tell us a little bit about what that means to you and how you see this year has been going so far?
Yeah, so I kind of came up with this. So, funny story. The past year, we didn't have anybody that was able to fill the president-elect role. So I stayed in the president-elect position for 2 years. So this has been my theme for 2 years now, I say. And I still hold it true, I think, because when I kind of thought about this, I always feel like when you become in a leadership role like this, you think of all the things you're going to do and all the things of how you're going to make the world a better place and how you're going to change all these things. And I think a lot of times we put ourselves to such a high standard as hygienists, as people in general, moms, whatever it is. I think that a lot of times we think we have to get to this huge high standard. We have to check all these boxes off the list. And if it wasn't done to the end of it by the time I change positions in May, then I'm a failure. And so I just feel like this progress over perfection is just basically saying, as long as we're moving forward, that's great. I think that moving our profession forward, even to like last year, we lobbied for the first time in I don't even know how many years it's been. And so I think just doing those types of things, moving our profession forward, making our meetings better, feeling like hygienists are coming to meetings more, making people want to come to meetings again, just progress. Anything that's new, anything that's something that wasn't there last year, I think is a great thing. And I just think that anything moving forward is a good thing, and we don't always need to be so nitpicky to ourselves, I guess. That's the best thing to say.
There have been some pretty big discussions, I know, this year regarding expanding the dental workforce in South Dakota. So what can you tell us what types of expansion have been discussed?
Yeah, so basically there was a workforce task group that was brought together, and it had a bunch of different people from USD, dentists across the state, South Dakota Dental Association, some dental assisting schools across South Dakota, SDDHA was there, just a collaborative work of people basically saying, how can we get the workforce shortage of dental professionals in South Dakota to go away? How can we get more people to want to stay in South Dakota? How can we get more professionals? There is no surprise, or I'm sure everybody knows, that most places are working short, whether it's hygienists, dental assistants, even too. I know that there's been places across the state that have closed because they can't, you know, they don't have a dentist or they don't have enough things like that. So I feel like that was the main goal of this group, was to basically, how can we make this better? And so some of the ideas that we've kind of discussed was changing the collaborative agreement so we can get more hygienists signed up. There's only currently 28, I believe the number is, that are currently a collaborative hygienist in the state of South Dakota. And so how can we make that requirement a little bit less strenuous so that we can get more hygienists in non-traditional type settings, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, South Dakota, serving more patients. And then restorative expanded functions for both registered dental assistants and registered dental hygienists, and then coronal scaling.
What specific changes to that collaborative practice have been proposed? How is that going to improve?
Yeah, so we kind of worked with a couple people out at Delta Dental, and they're kind of working on the best way to propose this. So basically, we just wanted to make it an easier access to people. And they're practicing for 2 of the last 3 years. And so we kind of took that out because there are some maybe retired hygienists that would come back and maybe practice, but maybe they haven't in the last 2 to 3 years. So it's just kind of something that was a barrier to maybe all people. And then there was also a minimum of 4,000 practice hours. So this kind of eliminates new grads from being able to work in those kinds of areas because they don't have 4,000 hours of practicing. So just another way to kind of eliminate that barrier that they can have. And then another one was that only one dentist, when they sign up, they can only have four or less dental hygienists that they have this collaborative agreement. So just taking that away and letting them have more than four hygienists, I think is just going to be another easy way for more hygienists to get out there and actually serve these underserved populations. And then they are also taking out the 13-month rule for the dental exam, because that doesn't always happen, especially for some of these places, you know, out in the middle of nowhere. Maybe they don't have a dentist within, you know, 400 miles of them. And so I think that makes it another thing that's a little bit hard. Obviously, they're always going to be encouraged to go see a dentist, but we know that that doesn't always happen. So
those are some pretty big changes. That's exciting. Coronal scaling also is kind of a big hot topic right now. And so I'm curious, how does SDDHA feel about coronal scaling at this point? And, you know, have you been talking to people? How have you gathered information? What is your stance right now?
Yeah, so the coronal scaling was brought up at that meeting. And we initially had told the group, we, as the South Dakota Dental Hygienist Association board, we do not support it. But we also felt like we are just a board of 11 of us. And so we thought we better get some more voices and we better have some more people to kind of back this up, because although we speak for the South Dakota hygienists across the state, a lot of times I feel like maybe our opinions aren't the same. So I thought it would be really important that we collect some data and get some information out from other hygienists. And even too, we expanded the survey to all dental professionals, anybody that lives in South Dakota that wanted to respond to the survey. So we did send out the survey. We sent it out via email, on Facebook, all those things. And we kind of collected some data for you guys just to kind of let people know what's going on. What's the perception from hygienists and dental assistants and dentists across South Dakota as far as coronal scaling being completed by dental assistants? So there was 429 people that responded. 371 of them were South Dakota dental licensed professionals. 58 were not South Dakota licensed professionals. So that could mean they were either from a different state and a licensed professional, or maybe they are somebody who works at a front desk of a office. It could be anybody. It could be a public member, whoever it is. They are just not licensed in South Dakota. And then we broke it down to also ask what type of position that they are so that we kind of knew who was kind of speaking in general. So there was 351 dental hygienists that responded, 42 dental assistants, 11 dentists, and then 25 other. So like I said before, that could be the public, that could be somebody that works at an office. But that's kind of the breakdown that we got. So it was kind of nice because we got to see just a general wide opinion based on who responded to the survey. And honestly, it was very overwhelming how many people said they weren't in support of it. And so it made me feel like a little bit better that I was voicing that opinion initially, because I feel like I have now more people saying, yes, we agree. So that made me feel better. So overwhelmingly, it was 90.7% were not in support of coronal scaling by a dental assistant, and 9.3% were in support of it. I haven't gotten to the actual facts of breaking down what people were not in support of it and whatnot and why. I can do that, but I haven't gotten that far, I'll be honest. And then we did open it to some comments. So anybody that had any concerns, or maybe people that were in support of it, we wanted them to tell us why they were in support of it, or what types of things that they wanted to kind of voice and get their opinion out for. And so I just took some of the comments that I thought were kind of the most prominent ones, or things that I saw over and over again. A big one was only 10% of the prophy is actually above the gum line. Perio is also very high on the rise. So who's going to diagnose it? Who's going to be probing these patients? Who's going to be checking sub? Very big concerns on that. Also, there was some talk of some people saying on there, well, children are under the age of 10, maybe could get it done. But there was also some people that were like, Yeah, but children under the age of 10 also have subgingival calculus, and they have biofilm and things that are below the gum line that could be missed if we're just scaling above the gum line and only polishing their teeth. A big thing, too, is also just safety of our patients and even the public's perception. Do people actually know who's cleaning their teeth and how much education that they have? And did they just go to a weekend course to scale teeth, or did they have 2 full years of learning to scale and learning the instruments and all that information on periodontal disease? And then concerns with pay, job security of dental hygienists, and even too, there was a couple dental assistants that I saw on there that had said, we already have a lot of duties, we already feel overwhelmed with how many duties that we do have, and they didn't necessarily want it. So that could be another survey for another time, but those are just kind of the big ones that we kind of saw.
Yeah, that's great to have that survey data. That way you know that you're making a opinion based on fact, right? You're taking your ideas from actual feedback.
And even too, another thing that I kind of thought about when I was getting the survey, I feel like a lot of times surveys are not well received. They're not well responded to. So the fact that we had that many people respond is actually really, really crazy and big. So it's clearly a very hot topic. It's something that people are passionate about. And even too, we only have in South Dakota 800 licensed dental hygienists. I'm not sure on dentists or dental assistants, but we only have 800 licensed South Dakota dental hygienists. And that doesn't mean that they're all practicing in South Dakota. It just means that they have a license here. And we had 351 of them respond. That's almost half. So it's great that we got those opinions. And you can still fill it out if you'd like to.
Yeah, that is a really great response rate. Usually what I think on some of our SDDHA emails, even the open rate or the response rate is like 10%. Yeah. So to have a 50% response rate to that survey is a really big deal. What would you say to people who have expressed frustration with us that hygienists want expanded functions for themselves, but coronal scaling seems to be like the hill that we're willing to die on? Coronal scaling is not something that SDDHA supports. So how would you respond to that frustration?
We have a couple points of why. Biggest thing, it feels very unethical not scaling sub and leaving anything behind. Even if we say, well, a dentist will check after or whatever, who knows if that's actually going to happen? Who's going to hold anybody to that standard? A prophylaxis includes entire debridement of the tooth from the base of the pocket to the very tippy top of the tooth. So no sub gingival scaling means it's not a true prophylaxis procedure. There is no code for coronal scaling. There's nothing out there that says that a coronal scaling is a complete cleaning and you're good to go, you're done. So that's our first kind of concern. It's very unethical in that sense. There's also no accreditation by CODA. So any hygienist out there who has a hygienist license means that they went through a accredited program through CODA. That means that they have the training, they have all the hours logged, they did everything that they have. There is no other program out there for coronal scaling that is accredited. And we have spoken to the South Dakota Board of Dentistry, and they have expressed that concern of they only like to support programs that are accredited, that have gone through that type of process. So no accreditation means it's very... what's the word I'm looking for? No accreditation means it's not a correct training. It's not going to be enough to warrant a true prophy. And then the third thing is that the South Dakota Practice Act tells us as dental hygienists that we can only be employed by dentists. We cannot go directly to patients. We can't work in hospitals or things without a dentist. When dentists make decisions about overlapping these procedures like coronal scaling with our true prophys, it creates a conflict of interest in terms of fair pay and replacing hygienists as a whole. That's the biggest concern. We want to protect our job as hygienists, and we want to protect other South Dakota hygienists of just continuing to be hygienists in the state and keep hygienists in South Dakota, and we just think that it would be a big detriment to our workforce. And even too, another thing that we also did, we did create a survey for our students, because a lot of us on the board are faculty members here at USD, and they were overwhelmingly, a lot of them that said that they came to South Dakota to work here said that this type of thing would actually deter them from staying. So if we're trying to get more people to stay in South Dakota and work here, this is not the answer that we're looking for.
Yeah, those are really great points. So I'm sure we have a lot of hygienists listening that probably feel strongly one way or the other about these topics. Do you have any recommendations? So for any hygienists wanting to get involved, or wanting to express their opinions, wanting to be more involved in STDHA in any capacity, what recommendations do you have for them listening?
Well, you can always email me. I'm always available. My email is on my phone, so I feel like I'm like the quickest answer ever because it's always there. My phone's always in my hand. So I always try to get back to people as fast as possible. You can always email me, sddha.president@gmail.com, and I'm happy to help direct you wherever you need to go or whatever you're interested in. But we do have a lot of events coming up. We do have Lobby Day that is at the end of January. That's January 29th. We always go up to Pierre and we like to talk to legislators about things that maybe we support as far as bills and things that are going on. So we are going to be heading up there on the 29th to Pierre. So if anybody wants to join us, you are more then welcome to join us. We're also going to have, for the first time ever, a CE the night before on the 28th, and that's going to be at the Delta Dental location in Pierre as well. So that's going to be really nice because we're also going to talk about ethics and jurisprudence. So as these things, type of topics come up, this is going to be such a good class for us to kind of inform people about all the ethics and things that go into these types of bills and decisions and whatnot. So we do have both of those things coming up in the end of January. We also have tons of more CE options coming up in Rapid City and Sioux Falls. This year we're going to have one in both sides of the state, so that'll be really nice. And then we always have our annual sessions in May. You can also join us as a board member. Like I said, we always change over our positions in May. So when we have our annual sessions, that's when we will be doing it. So if you're interested in being a board member, just email me and I'm happy to kind of point you in that direction. And you can always just join as a member too. I don't want to say just join as a member either. Like, it's not just that. You truly have a voice here. So we always want to welcome you to be a sounding board for us. You are the first people that we usually try to look for when we are asking for these things, these surveys, and for these things that we want as far as your opinion and how we want to go forward as an association. We are your voice, and we hope that we can always be that good voice for you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for letting me interview you and talking about some of these big topics. I also want to share too, I am Katie Puddle, if you don't know who's talking, but I am also available on email sddha.secretary@gmail.com. And so if you have any comments, concerns, questions, you can always reach out to me too. We'll go ahead and wrap this episode of Nothing But the Tooth. We'll wrap it up, and hopefully we will be putting out more podcast episodes. If you have an idea for a podcast episode, or if you have any topics that you'd like to cover, or if you yourself have something that you want to share with SDDHA and would like to have a podcast for yourself, or for maybe a product that you sponsor, or you know, anything. If you have any ideas for podcast episodes, please reach out sddha.secretary@gmail.com. And we'll see you next time. Thanks.
Bye.
's for listening to this episode of Nothing But the Tooth by the South Dakota Dental Hygienists Association. We appreciate you listening, and if you like this content, please subscribe to our podcast. You can also find us at sddha.org.